Thank you. Thank you for coming here to exalt yourself, to occupy the central place. You are such an amazing God. You are such an awesome Father. Oh my goodness. Lord, our hearts are so overwhelmed by the fulfillment of this promise. It's a promise that is at least 10 years old, that we're standing right here in the city of Columbus doing open heavens. Truly, it's not by might and it's not by power. This is your spirit. I'm thinking of all the different things you had to do to make this service a possibility this morning. And it is truly mind-boggling. I'm thinking of all the dots you had to connect, sitting in the parking lot and following a little bit of the service. I'm amazed. I'm truly amazed. I'm truly amazed at how good you are. All of these precious people, some of them laboring hours and hours and hours. Many of them travel long distances to be here in this sanctuary, this Bethel. That's what this place has become. It wasn't a Bethel until we came here, but it became a Bethel this morning. To be standing here under the covering of the Holy Spirit himself, to be experiencing this warmth, this freshness of your presence is truly overwhelming. And Father, we thank you for it. We honor you for it. You alone get all the glory and you alone get all the praise. And this is just the open door. As we get into your word, you assured me that you were going to take us on a miracle journey in this service. We open up this house to you. This is your house. This is your place. You come now, as you are already here with us, you come and unleash upon us that fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Breathe upon your word. Let there be fresh revelation knowledge out of that word today. Everything that you do in our lives begin with your word. And we're super excited today at what you are about to say to us. Lord, our hearts are open to you. We're ready to take it. We're not one of those who just wonder when it will be over. No, we're here. We came here to take it. We came here to possess it. So, Father, I pray for every man and every woman, every boy and every girl, everyone under the sound of my voice today, as the wind of the Holy Spirit moves through the aisles and through the seats and through the altar, do something in our lives, God, that will launch us into that next level that you have prepared. In the name of the Lord Jesus, help us at this moment to now look beyond all the work of preparation that has led us to this moment. Father God, now help us to look into the future that you have prepared. Help us, God, to put our focus and our gaze on why you sent us here. On why you sent us here. We could have been holding this service in Cleveland, Ohio. We could have been holding this service in Akron, Ohio. We could have been holding this service in Charlotte, North Carolina. We could have been holding this service in any other place. But you asked that we do it right here in Columbus, Ohio. So the reason for which you sent us here, let that purpose begin to be manifested as we get into your word. Lord, as we enter into the gate of heaven, do something, Lord, that I has not not seen, that ear has not heard, that has not yet entered into the heart of any man. Do something, Father, that will cause our very hearts, God, to explode, not only with joy, but with revelation. We receive it right now. We give you the glory for it. We give you the praise. I thank you, Father, for the sick that will be healed. I thank you, God, for the unsaved that will be saved. I thank you, God, for the lost and wandering that will become restored. I thank you, Father God, for the oppressed that will be delivered. Thank you, God, for a release of the supernatural, for the blessings of open heavens that come into this house right now. We thank you for it, Father. We give you the glory and we give you the praise. Receive it to yourself alone, oh God, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, somebody, go ahead. Give the Lord your best praise. Hallelujah. Give him a shout. Give him your best praise. Woo, you can do better than this. Don't stop now. Give him your best praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, we're super excited to have all of you. Would you please be seated if you can? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Welcome, welcome. Thank you all for coming. Let's get into the word. My goodness, I believe that the Lord has something very important to say to us today. And we're really excited to get it. Amen. Hallelujah. We have done all the preparation. We have done all the work. We have done all the advertising, all the outreach. We have done our part, right? So now let the Holy Spirit do his part. Glory to God. This is a moment that I believe the Lord wants to do something unique in each of our lives. So I'm going to ask you, if you can, to give me your full attention as we get into the word. You know, open heavens is a time of an encounter with God. The general vision of Abundant Life International Church, we like to say, you know, our God-given vision is to be a word-based international ministry aimed at imparting the abundant life of Christ into every area of people's lives while discipling them through the accurate teaching and proclamation of God's word. And just about everything we do in every service, there's a whole lot of focus on the word. Open heavens is slightly different because it's the open door that God has given to us to bring an impartation of the Holy Spirit. That impartation of the Holy Spirit is also word-based. Everything begins from the word of God, right? However, through the ministry of the word, we give a little bit more room to the impartation of the Holy Spirit. So if we need to stop at some point, if I need to pray for someone who is sick, if I need to stop somewhere and I need to break yokes of the oppressed, and I can see some things in the spirit already, if I need to stop somewhere, and people that are dealing with some brokenness, and answers can't find. If I need to stop somewhere and just speak a word over you, I'm going to take the liberty to. I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit do what he has to do. But let's give the Word of God a lot of time here. Your best life awaits. Can you tell your neighbor your best life awaits? Your best life awaits. I'm in the Word of God. I'm in the Word of God first. Okay, let's start out from Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 4 to verse 10, Ephesians chapter 2, and I want to do this from the New Living Translation, if you have that, please. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 4 to verse 10. Your best life awaits, and I call this some of the things I'm going to share with you before that miracle journey thing. Milestones on the miracle journey to your best life. So let's just read a couple of broad scriptures, and then I'm going to give you these five very important points that I want us together to kind of revelate with the help of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm ready to hear from the Lord today. Say, I'm so ready to get a word from God. A life-changing word. Amen. I'm ready. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 4. In the New Living Translation, it says, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. But us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. This service is going to be recorded throughout all ages because of what the Lord intended to be done. Not just this morning, not just today. He sent us, we're sowing seeds at three different levels. We've talked about that. He said, sow seeds of prayer. We did that. We fasted, we prayed for the city of Columbus, for open heavens. Praise God, we did that. And yesterday, we had a powerful prayer session in the hotel. Awesome. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Allah, for that. Then he said, sow seeds of impartation of the Holy Spirit in this service. That's what we're doing this morning. Sow seeds of impartation of the Holy Spirit. So some of the seeds that are sown in this service will go on beyond today into generations that are not even born yet. That's what we're doing right now. And then finally, it says, sow a financial seed in the land. So tomorrow, before we get out of town, we're going to go and drop a seed, a financial seed, in one of the food banks in the area. Glory to God. So we are obeying God, and that's all we are asked to do. I'm super excited. I'm super excited for what he has in mind. So he says here, let's get back to the word. God raised, verse 6, God raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly places because we are united with Christ Jesus. Verse 7, so God can point to us all in the future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, as shown in all that he has done for us who are united with Christ. Verse 8, God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Verse 10, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. So we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. Let's read that from the Amplified. You probably know the way it reads already. That verse 10, we love it in the Amplified. Let's read that from the Amplified. It says in the Amplified version, so for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, so that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, so that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. I want you to look at look at the different breakdowns of that scripture. We are God's own handiwork. So that means God created us with a destiny in mind. None of us, you are not just on this earth just to be doing your own thing. God created you with a destiny. He had a purpose for your creation, right? Then he says, that purpose takes hold when you become born again, recreated in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm trying to get used to this pulpit. It's different from the one I used before. So bear with me. I'll get it right in a minute. I have the scripture right before me, but I keep turning around. We're born anew. We're recreated in Christ Jesus. Then he says, God predestined us. He planned beforehand for us so that we would take paths which he prepared ahead of time, so that if we walk in those paths, we will live the good life. That's really where I'm going. If we walk in the paths that God created ahead of time, we will live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. There is, my friends, there is a good life. I am telling you, there is a good life in Christ Jesus. I'm thinking, as I sat down in that parking lot, I was thinking more than 40 years ago, when I gave my life to Christ. Out of a Muslim family, when we walked in here, we drove in here yesterday morning, very early in the morning. We parked in the parking lot because we just came to check the place out. And Pastor Tino and I were walking around. And one of the first few things we saw, there's a lot of Islamic things around. There's a big Islamic worship center over there. There is this, you know, nothing against the religion of Islam. I'm just telling you, God called me out of that because there was no life in that. And when he called me out of Islam, he called me into Christ. And when I came into Christ, I experienced real life. And I have experienced this real life for more than 40 years. So when we saw all this Islamic, there's even people, you know, car ownership, Islam, we even saw a sign somewhere that said something about, something political against Israel or whatever. So we saw different things. And so we went in that parking lot, said, let's just consecrate this ground right here. That's the first thing we did yesterday morning. Because that told me that there's a lot of darkness. But in the midst of that darkness, God sent us to bring light. Light is only relevant in darkness. Light is only relevant in darkness. If you have light and you carry that light to somewhere where there is already light, your light is not relevant. That's why many of you, the calling of God upon your life is to help you make a difference in a place where there is darkness. And yet, most of us are looking for a way to stay in a place where there is already light. We are comfortable where there is already light. We are running and doing everything we can do just to be around a place where there is already light. But the light that God put in you is to send you to a place of darkness. I cannot tell you how overjoyed I was when we walked around this property yesterday. I said to Pastor Tinu, "What do you think about it?" She told me what she thinks. I said, "Okay." I said, "This is what I think." I love the light of God that is sent into the darkness of the world. Every single one of you, it's one of the things God is doing in this service today. Every single one under the sound of my voice, and before when I get done, I'm going to pray for you. Every single one of you under the sound of my voice today, you receive an apostolic vision, an apostolic grace. And you are going to take the light that comes with that apostolic grace, you are going to take it to dark places in the world, and you are going to make a difference. Places where people are saying it's hopeless. Places where people are saying, I don't get it, I don't see it, I don't understand it. Places where people are giving up, you are going to take that light. If there are students here, you are going to take that light to your schools. You are going to start a movement in your school. When I gave my life to Christ out of that Islamic religion, I was raised in that Islamic thing all my life in my family. It was somebody, some student, high school student, who brought the light to me. It was a high school student who got me saved. And when I got saved, I took that light first to my family. Now today, my entire family is saved. Then, all of them. Then, from the family, we started taking it everywhere. I went back to my school, that same high school, and many of the people that I went to high school with, most of them are saved and pastors today, around in different parts of the world. Many of them are missionaries. Many of them are serving in the kingdom of God. All from the small light that that high school student brought. And it was not just salvation. It was salvation. It was healing. It was deliverance. And then it was favor and prosperity. I mean, what God has started with us, I remember, maybe it was one of our few vacations. I don't know if it was the last one. I think we got together, and I was telling Christine and Edie, we got together in our hotel suite, and I was telling them, I said, guys, you know what God has given us? God has given us a covenant ministry dynasty.
Yes.
They looked at me like, I know their eyes were kind of wide. Like, I'm sure they understood in their own way, but I don't know that they really understood the depth of what I was saying. Every single one of you here today, when we get to the end of this service, and those that are online, and those who join this service, who listen to this word afterwards, there is an anointing that is going to be disbursed in this service that is going to have a multiplying effect all over the world, all over this nation and all over the world. Right out of this service, some of you, some of these little kids, I was saying that last night, but I couldn't really elaborate on it because there were little children in that prayer meeting. And I said something happened to those children. Yeah. Out of this service, some of these little kids, you are going to see these little kids take the light of the gospel to different parts of the world. I'm telling you, this is a next generation thing. Not just little kids. Even older ones. God is going to sharpen your sword. Some of us that have been like, maybe you've been coasting a while, you're like, I'm satisfied, I'm comfortable. God is going to put some new fire under you. Like, I got some new assignments for you. Like, let's take this up a little notch. Let's go up to the next level. Somebody say, that's happening, that's happening. So that's Ephesians 2. Now I want us to go and read. Just read the story, this passage about Jacob, and then I want to give you these five notes that I have. So let's go here to Genesis chapter 28, and I'm going to read from verse 10 to verse 22. Help me, Holy Spirit. I'm still trying to get used to this system. I'm going to just read from here, if you don't mind. Can you? Is that okay? Is that all right with you? If we all just read together from the screen. All right, Genesis chapter 28 from verse 10. Let's read it in the Message translation. Thank you. Let's read this together. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. Jacob was a man, a young man, who was raised in a godly family, but who he himself did not know God. His mother taught him the word. His father taught him the word. But you know, God, you can't know God through your parents.
No.
You can't know God through your teacher. Your walk with God has to be a personal one-on-one walk. And until you have that divine encounter with God, where your relationship with God and your walk with God becomes a one-on-one intimate relationship, you really have not started on your journey of destiny. Jacob left Beersheba and went to Haran. Let's go on to the next verse. Thank you, Efe. He came to a certain place and camped for the night since the sun had set. He took one of the stones there and set it under his head and lay down to sleep. Sometimes in life, life happens. Sometimes when the day goes through its cycle, the night comes. And sometimes you feel like you haven't arrived where you're going yet, but the night is upon you. Life has happened. And even though life has happened, I want you to know God is never on break. Even when you go to sleep at night, even when you have to lay everything down, even when you have to say, okay, I guess I've done all I can, this is where I'm just going to leave this, I want you to know God is still working. A stairway was set on the ground, and that stairway reached all the way to the sky, to heaven. The angels of God were going up and down on it. Next verse. Then God was right before him saying, I am God. I like this. I am God, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. I'm giving you the ground on which you are sleeping. I'm giving this ground to you and to your descendants. You see, he was sleeping, but God was still working. Your descendants will be as the dust of the earth. They'll stretch from the west to the east, from the north to the south. All the families of the earth will bless themselves in you and in your descendants. This is a little boy who ran away from home looking for opportunity. And God is selling him a dream and a vision. There's somebody listening to me today. I don't know who you are, and I don't know where you are on your journey. But God is selling you a dream and a vision about your future that is bigger than anything you have ever experienced. He said, yes, I'll stay with you. I will protect you wherever you go. And then I will bring you back to this very ground. I will stick with you until I have done everything I promised you. Glory to God. I love it. I love it. Next verse. Jacob woke up. I love this verse. Jacob woke up from his sleep and he said, ah! God is in this place truly, and I didn't even know it. God is in this place truly, and I did not even know it. That place became his Bethel. That place became the place of his divine encounter with the Almighty God. That place became where he received the fresh treasure of God for his future. It was way beyond anything his parents had told him. It was way beyond anything he had ever imagined in his life. God is in this place truly, and I did not even know it. Look at this next verse, verse 17. He was terrified. He whispered in awe. Incredible. Incredible? That's what God will do in your life in this season. Wonderful. Wonderful? That's who God is. Holy? That's the ground on which we're standing. Look at these three words. Let's call these words together. Incredible. That's what God is going to do in your life in this season. Wonderful. That's who God is. Holy. That's the ground on which we're serving. We're standing right now. They probably served alcohol when we drove in last night to set up. They were rolling out their stuff. They probably, whatever it was they did here before we came in here last night, it doesn't matter. This is holy ground now. Yes. Destinies have been birthed in this holy ground right now. Somebody's story is being changed in this ground right now. Somebody's life is being rewritten. Somebody's getting a new beginning right here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching better than you are responding. Look at this. Say these three words with me. Incredible. Somebody say, that's what God is doing in my life in this season. Let's do it one more time. Incredible. That's what God is doing in my life in this season. Wonderful. Raise your hands up. That's who my God is. That's who my God is. He's all powerful. He's wonderful.
He's wonderful.
Holy. That's the ground on which I'm standing. So I'm in a good place. I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm in a place to have an encounter with Almighty God. This is the right place to be on this Sunday morning on June 28, 2026. This is my Bethel, and this is where God is going to do amazing in my life. Woo! This is the gate of heaven. This is God's house. Do you know where he's calling God's house? It wasn't a cathedral. Don't mind my phone. It doesn't know we have a special event today. I'm preaching longer than usual today, so just ignore it. We have lunch, by the way. We have lunch, and we have a lot of food, right? We prepared for a lot of people. So that means instead of rationing that food, people will actually be able to get full and take home, maybe, possibly. So stay alert and stay awake. and stay with me. Don't leave. So I know I can preach very long today because I know you will not leave because we have food. The food just pulled up. You see, I told you this is holy ground. I told you it's wonderful. Why am I talking about food when food just pulled up? Right? I told you it's holy ground. I told you God is right here. That's just evidence to you. I mean, we experienced that same thing yesterday. We pulled up here. We were praying out there. And at the time that we were praying, we just finished praying. I was calling the police department to see if we can get some police help for the service. And here came the owner of the property, the owner of the business. She pulled in. She introduced herself to us. We had all these questions, and I was going to call Minister Wilmot. I said, well, let's wait. Let's finish praying, then I'll call him. And then she came, and she answered all our questions, brought us in here. That's divine. The food truck showing up at the time that I'm talking about food. And I'm serious. You can laugh about it. But these are things. These are God moments. Yes. Don't miss it. God, I'm talking about food. I broke my message up. I stopped preaching my message to talk about food. And at that same moment, the food truck shows up and is calling our minister. Don't miss that. That's divine. That is God telling you what I'm saying to you. Listen. Because that's me talking to you today. Don't take this lightly. I may talk about food. We may laugh. We may do this. But God wants to do something. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Shake your neighbor. Say, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Say, God is right here. Don't miss this. God is right here. Don't miss this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read the rest of this, and then let me give you my notes. I'll be very quick with my notes. Jacob got up first thing in the morning. He took the stone that he had used for his pillow and stood it up as a memorial pillar and poured oil over it. Glory to God. God is pouring oil over some people today. God is pouring new oil over some people today. He christened the place Bethel. He said, this is God's house. He was in the wilderness with the sound of animals. But he said, this is God's house. Why? Because that's where he had an encounter with God. Somebody's having an encounter with God today. And the name of the town, he said, this is Bethel, but the name of the town had been Luz until then. So he changed the name of the town. He changed the name of the place. They said, it's Rochester Event Center, but he said, no, this is Bethel. Just for this moment, while I'm here with God, this is Bethel right now. And this is the gate of heaven. We open up the doors for God to do something. Oh my goodness. What's exploding in my spirit right now? What's exploding in my spirit right now? We open up the gates of heaven. For the Lord God Almighty himself, who knows no limits, to come in and step out of eternity into time and to bring a radical revolution in the lives of humans. And Jacob vowed a vow. I love this. Jacob vowed. God gave me a word for somebody with this scripture. And I think I'm going to wait to say it because I don't think everybody that needs to hear it is in here yet. Jacob vowed a vow. If God stands by me and protects me on this journey on which I'm setting out, and if he keeps me in food and clothing, and if he brings me back in one piece to my father's house, this God will be my God. Amen. This God will be my God. Look at this. This stone that I've set up as a memorial pillar will mark this as a place where God lives. And everything you give me, I'll return a tenth to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Number one, and I'm just going to read out to you from my notes so I don't miss anything. This is really critical. God is supernatural. He does incredible things, and he does them in unconventional ways. That's number one. The second part of number one, God is a God of purpose, predetermination, and plan. He's supernatural, but he's a God of purpose, and he has a plan for your life. And 1C, the last part of this first point, you can have an encounter, a divine encounter with God. Everything that God does in your life begins with a divine encounter. This service was packaged for you to have a divine encounter with God, yourself. So let's go through number one again. What are the things I just called out in number one? God is supernatural. He does incredible things, and he does them in unconventional ways. Right? God is the God of purpose, predetermination, and plan. Yes? And finally, you can have a divine encounter with God. Everything God does in your life begins with a divine encounter. You can have that encounter right here in this Bethel this morning. Hallelujah. God is the God of purpose, predetermination, and plan. Did you get all of number one? Yes? Let's move on to number two. Number two, God's plan for your life is amazing. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of good, peace, not of evil, to bring you to an expected end. God's plan for your life is amazing. Can somebody repeat that with me? God's plan for my life is amazing. Amen. The second part of that, number two, his plan for your life is to be complete. That your life will be complete. And that there will be nothing missing and there will be nothing broken. That's why Jesus died for you. Let's do that again. God's plan for your life is that your life will be complete. That there will be nothing missing and nothing broken in your life. That's why Jesus died for you. Please put up for me John chapter 10, verse 10. Let's put that up in the amplified version of the Bible. God's plan for your life is that your life will be complete. In Christ Jesus, everything about your life can be complete. In Christ Jesus. Whatever is missing in your life right now can be supplied. That's why Jesus died for you. Nobody who is in covenant with God should ever accept a life where something is missing from what Jesus died to give to you. No one should ever accept anything that is way below or even a little below the covenant life and covenant privilege that Jesus died to give to you. Look at this scripture right here. The thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Close your eyes for a minute. Close your eyes, everybody. Close your eyes for a minute. What is missing in your life right now? Is anything missing? What is broken? Is anything broken? Jesus died to take care of that. Is anything missing? Are you missing joy? Are you missing purpose? Are you missing hope? Is anything broken? A dream? A family? A life, a career. Is anything broken? A God-given relationship. Is anything broken in your life right now? Jesus died to supply that. As you close your eyes, I want you to take back what Jesus died to give to you. Whatever is missing and whatever is broken in this service, because this is God's Bethel, and God has made a promise to you. I want to supply what is missing. I want to heal what is broken. I want you to take a step and say, I take that. I take that promise and I make it a reality in my life right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That's done. What's point number two? Let's go over that one more time. What's point number two? God's plan for your life is amazing. What's the second part of that plan, of that point? His plan is for your life to be complete. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Did anybody take back things that were missing right here? Did anybody take back things that were broken right here? That's where you go. The Lord is right here. This is his Bethel. And Jesus died to give those things to you, and you can take them back. I'm going to show you that a little bit in a minute. Because God isn't going to just pour it on you. You have a responsibility to do something about this. Let's go on to the next point. Number three. I love this point. I love it very much because it talks specifically about some of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Number three. Listen to this. God wants to fulfill your highest dreams, and he wants to give you new dreams for your future. God wants to fulfill your highest dreams, and he wants to give you new dreams for your future. The 30-day miracle journey challenge that I'm going to give to you at the end of this service has something to do with those dreams. I want everyone, close your eyes for a minute. What are your highest dreams? What are your highest dreams? I want you to focus for a minute on your highest dreams. What are your highest dreams? God wants to fulfill those dreams. But in addition to God fulfilling those dreams, he wants to give you new, higher dreams that you have not even received yet. And he's going to do that by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Open your eyes. The Holy Spirit is in the business. The way the Holy Spirit works. Put up this scripture for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 9 and 10. Let's read this just from the King James or the New King James if you have the New King James. I want you to see something about the work of the Holy Spirit here. Listen, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. What interpretation? Meaning there are some things that God has prepared for your future that you have not even thought about yet. I want to take you back for a minute into the experience that Jacob had in that wilderness. There were some things that God had prepared for his future that he had not even seen yet. How did he transmit those things to him so that Jacob could conceive of those things? He gave him a dream. The way God elevates your thinking, the way God elevates your expectation, the way God elevates your hope for the future is the Holy Spirit will give you dreams. These are not just things you see when you sleep. Dreams are not just things you see when you sleep. You can have dreams when your eyes are wide open. In this service, many of you are having dreams. You just may not realize these are dreams. Because a dream is just a point of encounter with God where something that was only available to God suddenly becomes available to you. Amen. And some of that happens when we sleep at night, but a lot more of that happens when we are actually awake. In this service, God said he's given new dreams. Somebody raise your hands up. Say, I receive the new dreams God has given me. Say, I receive the new dreams God has given me. And he's doing it by the Holy Spirit. Look at this next scripture. So, it is not as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has he entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us, how?
By his Spirit.
For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. How does the Holy Spirit, how does he reveal, how does he bring things to you that have been prepared for you that you don't even know about? A lot of times, it is through dreams. That's why, you know that scripture where Joel was prophesying, in the last days, the Spirit of God will be poured out. There'll be dreams. There'll be visions. The way the Holy Spirit gives you things that have been packaged for you that you don't see yet is through dreams. Close your eyes one more time. Close your eyes one more time. Say, I receive the dreams of the Holy Spirit for my future. I receive the higher dreams of God for my future right now in the name of Jesus. I receive the instructions that I need to make those dreams a reality right now in the name of Jesus. Open your eyes. So what was our third point? God wants to fulfill your highest dreams and he wants to give you new dreams for your future. The second part of that, the Holy Spirit works by giving you visions and dreams. Did somebody get something about dreams not only being things that you see when you sleep at night? Actually, a lot of the dreams that you see when you sleep at night, many of them are based on things that you experience during the day. But then there are some dreams that just break through every once in a while. Some dreams break through that, you know, this is way beyond my natural experiences. Because God is trying to bring some light to you to create a reality about your future that you have not imagined yet. Somebody said,
I take those dreams. So
you may feel broken in your life right now, but the Holy Spirit is giving you a dream right now of health and soundness.
Amen.
You may feel confused in your life right now, but right now in this service, the Holy Spirit is giving you dreams of clarity and peace. You may feel tired. I heard that. There are a lot of people who are tired of pushing. They say, I've tried so hard. I've done everything. It's just not happening. I guess I'll just leave it alone. Maybe it's not meant for me. Don't do that. The Lord said, tell them, I want to give you a new dream for your future.
Yeah.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah.
There's a new beginning for you.
Yeah.
I said, there's a new beginning for you.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. If you've ever failed anywhere, if you've ever given up on anything, I want you to go back after this service and pick them back up. Things that you knew in your spirit were meant for you by God. Not just aspirations. No. Things that you knew the Lord wanted you to have. After this service, I want you to go back and pick them up. Some precious relationships you've lost, that you know God wanted you to have, but the thief stole them away. I want you to go back and take them back after this service. Glory to God. Something is happening here. Something is happening here. I'm almost done. Was that point three? I'm going to skip point four. Let's go to point five, the very last point. And I'll come back to point four. That point four is, those are the practical things I'm going to give you at the end of this service. And it's going to start with a prayer first. So let's do point five. Point five, listen to me. I heard these words very clearly. I don't know who it's meant for. It may even be meant for all of us in this service, because I went and checked some of the meaning of that word. Don't be a minimalist. Jacob was a minimalist until he met God. Jacob did the barest minimum to get by until he met God.
Jacob, anything, Jacob just asks, all he asks is, what do I need to do to get by? What do I need to do to get over? If you told them, this is the minimum, this is the basic required minimum that you need, that's what they're going to do. And if you are a minimalist, you will never find the best life that God prepared for you. So many people are minimalists because they are not willing to take a chance. They want everything to be given them on a platter of gold. Like, God, if you want us to go to Columbus to have a service, show us, make everything we need available. Show us that everything is taken care of. And just drop us in the service and we will be happy to go. It never happens. God is a God of faith. God is not a minimalist and he does not bless minimalists. People who do the barest minimum just to get by are never going to make it. Make those children sit down. Make them sit down. If you can't sit by your parents, sit down with an uncle or an auntie. Do it quick so you don't see my red eye. Because I have a red eye you have never seen. God never blesses minimalists. There are many minimalists in the body of Christ. They are going to do the barest minimum to get by. How many verses of scripture do I need to read? Just 10 every day. They will read 10 scriptures. What do I need to do out of my finances to please God? Tithe. They will calculate that 10% to the nearest cent. What do I need to do to get through in my career? They will do the very barest minimum, and they are never willing to do beyond that. Do not be a minimalist. Today, God is delivering people from that spirit of minimum. God is a maximum God. God is a max God. God is a max God. God is a great God. He's a big God. And today, there is a deliverance for you from being a minimalist to becoming a maximalist. God wants you He wants you to have the best that he has prepared for you. God wants you to go the extra mile. He wants you to take the extra step. God wants you to do the one more thing. That is what the spirit of excellence is. When you put on the spirit of excellence, you make room for God to promote you, to elevate you, to anoint you. Somebody say, I'm done with being minimalist. Stand to your feet. These are the words the Lord told me to tell you. Make a commitment today to give God everything. Make a commitment today to give your dream everything. Make a commitment today to give life everything. You know that saying amongst athletes? You know what athletes say? Leave it all on the field. Leave it all out. You know, it's almost like they gave everything. They gave everything. Win or lose, that's what they say. Win or lose, they gave everything. God is calling you in this service. Win or lose, give everything. Give everything. And I want you to start practically. Give everything. Many of us would even say, I've given so much, I'm tired. And the Lord said, that's why I packaged this service for you. Because I want to give you new strength. I want to give you grace beyond your own abilities. It's not by might and it's not by power. It's by my Holy Spirit. It's not what you are able to accomplish on your own. It's what I enable you and empower you to accomplish by my Spirit. As you hear me today and as we close out this service, get ready to close out this part of this service.
I want you to elevate now. Ask yourself the question, where do I need to do more? Where do I need to go up higher? For every one of us, let's start from our walk of faith. The walk of faith is a risky walk. You never know you will get that degree until you insist on staying in college. And you fight every force and every opposition that is trying to pull you out of it. You never know you can thrive in that marriage until you give it one more thing that it needs. One more thing. Even when you think you have given it everything, until you give it one more thing. You never know you can have a thriving career until you give that career just one more push. You never know how you can succeed in that business until you give it one extra push, one extra push. You go one extra mile. One extra mile. And that may be where God meets you. That may be where God meets you. I'm looking for a commitment today. A commitment to live the best life possible. A commitment to go for it with everything you have. Somebody says, Pastor, but you know, I don't want to be ashamed. I don't want people to laugh at me. This is my answer to you. After they laugh at you, then what? Did they take away your paycheck? After they laugh at you, did they take away your status in life? After they laugh at you, then what? Everybody goes back home and you still have to live your life. Somebody say, Pastor, but I don't want the whole neighborhood, the whole community to be talking about me. I tried, I failed. Then after they talk about you, then what? Do you know how much they laughed at Abraham? When God told Abraham to change his name and to start being called Abraham, the father of many nations, and all his servants had to call him father of many nations, and yet he had no son. He had no child. And for more than 20 years, they were calling him father of many nations, and yet he had no child to show. And many people were laughing as they were calling him that, they were laughing. But what did he change? God is calling somebody today under the sound of my voice to take that next step and push. You have to push beyond where you are. You have to get out of that comfort zone. You have to get out of it. You have to get out. You have to get out. I don't care what. You have to get out of it. I don't care what you have. Do get out of that. Get out of that rot. Get out of that rot. That thing that you have become comfortable with, that thing that you have lived to manifestation in my life, I know the words that you have spoken concerning me will come into fruition. I give you praise for it. Come on, make that commitment before we close out this part of this service. Make that commitment in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We make that commitment to you today. We make that commitment to you today. That extra push. Going that extra mile. Giving it one more push. Giving it one more push. Hallelujah. Giving it one more push. Beginning with our relationship with you. Beginning with our relationship with you. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. Hallelujah. Open your eyes. I'm about to close, but I just want to go through this. You may not be able to write because you may not have something to write with, but this will be recorded, so if you need to go back to it, you can. I want you to get on a 30-day miracle journey with us. It doesn't have to start today. This is summer. A lot of people are going to go through, you know, travel and different things. But as soon as you can, before life erases this passion, before life erases, you know, as life happens, before you forget, I want to encourage you to get on this 30. This is something the Lord wanted me to give to you today. And there are five things I'm going to mention to you. Number one, I'm going to pray over you in just a minute and speak the life of God over you and impart that life to you. I'm going to have you place your right hand over your heart when we do it, but I'm not going to do it yet. I want you to listen to the rest of this. The second thing is when you get back home and you are finally settled, it doesn't have to be today. Many of you are traveling. Many of us are traveling. But as soon as you are finally settled, before life begins to happen and you forget, I want you to document every dream that you have for your future. Write them down. I want you to document every dream that you have for your future. Write them down. Many people don't do this. They will not do this because they're afraid. They are scared of being disappointed. They are scared of shame. I want you to get over that hump. Write it down. And write it down with faith in your heart, believing that those dreams can become a reality. Write them down. Even the dreams that you have given up on, even the dreams that you feel like, oh, that's probably not possible for me anymore. Write them down. Write them down. Then I want you to present, this is a 30-day miracle journey. Every day when you begin that miracle journey, every morning, I want you to present those dreams to the Lord. Every morning for the next 30 days. I want you to present those dreams that you've written down to the Lord for the next 30 days. Next thing, as you present those dreams to the Lord, I want you to ask Him two major things. As you present them to Him, I want you to ask Him for two major things. Number one, Lord, what would you like me to do to partner with you on this earth to fulfill your own dreams in addition to what I'm currently doing? Lord, what would you like me to do to partner with you on this earth to fulfill your own dreams in addition to what I'm currently doing? That's one. Number two, what immediate tangible steps can I take to move toward the fulfillment of these dreams that I have written down? Father, show me by the Holy Spirit, what immediate tangible steps can I take to move toward the fulfillment of these dreams? Don't get out and begin to do things anyhow using your head, because if this is not ordered by the Holy Spirit, you are going to dive into confusion, and it's going to hurt you rather than help you. But when the Holy Spirit directs it, remember, He has it all planned out. He'll show you what you need to do, where you need to go. He'll make it all work together and get you to your ultimate destiny. Did you get this? Those two points? Ask Him every morning before presenting those dreams to Him. Number one, Lord, what would you like me to do to partner with you on this earth to fulfill your dreams in addition to what I'm currently doing? Then number two, what immediate tangible steps can I take to move toward the fulfillment of these dreams that I've written down? And finally, commit to developing closer intimacy with God. Go ahead. We're talking 30-day miracle journey now, every day. Develop closer intimacy with God. Go ahead and do whatever the Lord reveals concerning the point above, the tangible steps you can take, and then thank Him in advance for that miracle journey. That's it. Did you get this? Number one, we're going to speak the life of God over you right here in this service. Number two, when you get back home, finally settled, as soon as possible, before life events erase this thought and this passion, I want you to document every dream you have for your future. Write them down. Number three, I want you to present those dreams to the Lord every morning for the next 30 days. Number four, I want you to ask the Lord two things. God bless you as you present those dreams. Lord, what would you like me to do to partner with you on this earth to fulfill your dreams in addition to what I'm currently doing? Number two, what immediate tangible steps can I take to move toward the fulfillment of these dreams? Finally, number five, commit to developing intimacy with God go ahead and do whatever the Lord reveals concerning the point above, and thank him in advance for your 30-day miracle. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody, please, wherever you are, put your right hand on your heart. Thank you, Lord. Take a minute, please, whether you are here in this room or you are online, or maybe you are even listening to this after today's service. Wherever you are, as a sign of faith and yieldedness and commitment and obedience to God, put your right hand over your heart right now. Let's start out. The words that you heard in this service, let's take them. Let's take those words in the name of Jesus. Receive those words in your heart. I want you to verbalize. I want you to speak to the Lord right now on your own, in your own private place, right there where you are. I want you to speak to the Lord. Lord, I take these words that you spoke to me, this life-changing words, these words that you sent me to elevate me in my life and in my destiny. Lord, I make a commitment to these words. Lord, I open up my heart. I receive the fullness of everything that you have prepared concerning these words. I receive them right now. Thank you. Father God, I make a commitment that I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to devote myself, Father, to walking in line with your word. I'm going to be pleasing to you. I'm going to glorify you. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what is pleasing to you. I want to pray for somebody who needs to make a change, a complete, radical, drastic change. Somebody who may not be born again yet, or maybe born again, but you've walked away from the Lord. You've allowed the world to shame you into becoming like them. You've allowed the pressures of life to make you give up the most valuable things in your life. Jesus died for you so that you can have abundant life. That abundant life will be a reality in your life this morning. After I pray for you, Jesus died so that you'll be restored. Jesus died so that your life will be complete. Wherever you are right now, wherever you are right now, I'm not going to bring you out to the altar. Where you are right there, if you need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, wherever you are, like I did more than 40 years ago, where a young 14-year-old led me to the Lord and my life has never been the same since then. Wherever you are, quietly, wherever you are, or you want to be restored, you feel you are backslidden, you've walked away from your godly values, You've mingled with the world and you've lost touch with the God of your salvation. Wherever you are right now, I want you to pray this simple prayer. Say with me, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you. I acknowledge before you that I am a sinner and I cannot save myself. I have not done well and I have not done right. I have not allowed myself to walk in the center of your will. But today, I heard your word, and I believe you are calling me back to you. Today, I open my heart to the Holy Spirit. I repent of every wrongdoing. I repent of my waywardness. Father, I ask you for your forgiveness. Lord, I ask that by Jesus Christ, you will give me a new beginning. I ask that the Holy Spirit will come into my heart, that you will cleanse me from every evil and every sin. I ask that you will write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I renounce every work of darkness today. I renounce every work of sin today. I renounce every waywardness today, and I receive salvation in Jesus. I thank you, my Father. I give you the glory, and I give you the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you pray that prayer for the first time, get in the house. God, a Bible-believing church that's close by to you. Commit. Commit to this new walk. Get a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, let us know after this service. We can get you one. We'll get you one. You don't have to pay for it. Commit to fellowship with other believers like you. Commit to worshiping the Lord every day, every week. Commit to telling somebody what the Lord has done in your life. Now, everybody, let's keep our hearts, let's put our hands on our heart. Let's receive this impartation of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we receive what you have for us. We receive everything that you have breathed upon us today. In the name of Jesus, I speak over every man and every woman, everyone under the sound of my voice. I thank you so much. It was because of them, every single one of them, it was because of them that you put this service together. We're so thankful for you, O God. We're so thankful for all that you are to us and all that you have done in our lives. I pray over them today. I breathe upon them the Ruach of God in the name of Jesus. You receive the new life. You receive the new life of the Holy Spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus. You receive the new life of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. I command every hindrance on your path to be removed. Every limitation on your way be removed right now. You receive a new empowerment from the Holy Spirit to live the best life possible on this earth. You receive that fresh empowerment of the Holy Spirit to become everything that God created you to be. In the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. 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 I can feel that. I can feel that. Receive it right now. Receive it right now. There's someone who's dealing with a suicidal spirit here. Nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. The people around you don't know it. But several times you have considered taking your life. There have even been times when you came very close to doing it. I speak over you right now. If that's you, keep your hand on your heart. Keep your hand on. I speak deliverance. I break that yoke over your life right now. In the name of Jesus, I shatter into pieces that demonic spirit that is tormenting you, that is trying to take away the life of God from you. In the name of Jesus, you lose your hold over that child of God. You lose your hold right now. I speak peace over you. I speak a desire to live. I speak a desire to believe. A desire to believe.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for somebody right here. Somebody right here. Who's been saying all the time, God is just not working. Is just not working. I'm going to give up on this. I'm going to give up on this. I speak over you in the name of Jesus. I break the stranglehold of hopelessness over your life. In the name of Jesus, I release you from that tormenting spirit. You receive new hope. Receive new hope right now. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
There's someone headed to the courts. Very soon, over a situation that you did not cause, you were not responsible for it. But even though you were not responsible for it, you have responded wrongly when it was brought your way. And the Lord is saying to you today, let it go. Let it go. You are not losing. Let it go. Let it go. Let it go. You are not losing. You are not losing. Let it go. You can't fight this battle. You can't win this battle yourself. Let it go, the Lord says. Let it go, the Lord says. Somebody's got an infirmity of the body, of the flesh. Some sickness is ravaging your body right now. I want you to touch that part of your body. We're going to stand in faith over you. Touch that part of anywhere. Whoever Whoever, there are multiple people like this here in this service, I can see in the spirit. There are multiple people. Something's ravaging, something in your bone, something in your body, something in your vessels, something somewhere in your back, in your limbs, something somewhere in your lungs, in your liver, in your kidney. Somebody's battling something that is ravaging your flesh. You put your hands on it. I'm going to speak life over you. I'm going to speak healing upon that body right now. In the name of Jesus, receive the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit. I call you healed. I break the stranglehold of that sickness. I curse that sickness from its root. You lose your hold. You let go of that child of Zion right now. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says he himself, he bore our sicknesses and our diseases, and by his stripes we have been made whole. I declare you are the healed of the Lord. Receive that healing right now in the name of Jesus. There's someone here, multiple people. You're getting therapy for depression. The therapy is great, but that therapy is not your solution. The therapy is great. The therapy keeps you sane until you can get to the answer. Your answer is in Jesus. Nothing against your therapy. Keep on doing your therapy. But I want you to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now to destroy the yoke of depression. That depression is a curse. It's a spirit. I break that stranglehold over you right now in the name of Jesus. I know you smile. I know you have a good smile. And the people who see you don't know you are dealing with this. But I curse that spirit from over your life. I curse that spirit from over your life. I want to break generational yokes and curses right here. So many of them listening to me. Generational yokes. Things that are transferring from one generation to another. It was in the great grandfather, great grandmother. It moved on to the grandmother. It moved on to the mother. Moved on to the father. Moved on to the, and now it's coming to your children. But the Bible says you should shake yourself free from the bands of your neck. Shake yourself. Right now, if there's a generational curse, anyone, anywhere, under the sound of my voice, you know there's generational situations that you are dealing with. Put your right hand over your head and begin to declare, I am free in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, whosoever the Son sets free is free indeed. I declare, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. That's it. Yokes are breaking all over the place. Yokes are breaking all over the place. Yokes are breaking all over the place. If there's something I've not called out, and it's something you desperately need God to do in your life right now, wherever you are, put your hands on your head. No eyes are open, every eye is closed. If there's something you desperately need God to do in your life right now. I haven't mentioned it in this service, but you are desperate for God to do it in your life. You may be right here in this room, in this little room, or you may be online somewhere. Wherever you are, there's something you are desperate for God to do. It hasn't been called out in this service, but the God, the same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob, the same God of Jesus of Nazareth is right here to destroy that yoke, to put you over that impediment, to lift you up, to elevate you, to give you an inheritance that rightfully belongs to you. I declare it now. I declare it now. You receive it. You receive it in the name of Jesus. The oil is flowing. You receive it. The oil is flowing. You receive it now. The oil is flowing. You receive it now. The oil is flowing. You receive it now. I heard the Holy Spirit say, your life will never be the same again. Some of you would not recognize yourself long after this service. Something happened in your life. Something happened in your life.
We give you praise, Lord. Woo! We give you praise. Come on, let's begin to celebrate. Let's begin to bless the name of the Lord. My God, I see angels rejoicing in this place. Come on, I see angels dancing and singing in this place. Let's begin to bless the Lord. Let's begin to bless the Lord. Come on, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. Woo. 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 You have a testimony. You have a testimony. You have a testimony. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and your loving kindness. We receive all that you have given to us. We receive it and we thank you for it. And we bless and we magnify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.